Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the church at Thyatira. As we've been seeing, Jezebel, who held high stature in that congregation, she was probably one of the elders, she was leading people into some bad practices. And one of the practices that she was leading people into was eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, how does that apply to us today? Well, think about this for a second. I do not observe Christmas. I do not observe Easter. I don't observe New Year's. I don't observe Valentine's Day. I don't observe, what do they call that one? Halloween. I don't observe any of those kind of pagan holidays. I worship God according to the days that He has outlined in the scriptures, and that's God's seven annual holy days. I also do not go to church as a matter of practice on Sundays. I observe the Sabbath because Sunday is also a day really that Satan the devil has come up with in worship of the sun, not the Son of God, but the sun in the sky. And that has all been designed by Satan to deceive people, to lead people astray from worshiping God in spirit and in truth. God says that all those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is not good enough to just worship God in spirit, saying, oh, well, I'm doing this toward God and God doesn't mind, and I'm doing this for the children and I'm sure God wouldn't mind because my heart is right with God. Well, God tells you when your heart is right with Him. You don't get to decide when your heart is right with God. God tells you when your heart is right with Him, and your heart is right with Him when you are also worshiping God the way He tells you to worship Him. That's what God is saying when He says, worship Me in spirit and in truth. God is truth, God's word is truth, and we need to worship God in truth. So the truth of the matter is, we should not eat things sacrificed to idols. Now let's break this down, because the scriptures makes it clear what this is all about. And we're going to read in the book of Acts and the book of 1 Corinthians to really get into depth about eating things sacrificed to idols, explaining it. So my first question is, why did the apostles make such a big deal out of eating meat sacrificed to idols? It is because some believers formerly believed that the act of eating things sacrificed to idols was an act of worshiping the idol itself. So the apostles didn't want these Gentiles to fall back into their idolatrous practices. As we'll see in the following passages, eating things sacrificed to idols is often associated with committing idolatry. Peter and James, two of the lead apostles, spoke in this way regarding the Gentiles. In the book of Acts chapter 15 and verses 28 through 29, both of them came to this agreement, and they said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you Gentiles no greater burden than these necessary things. Number one, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled. All right, that's all really tied up in one. And then number two, to abstain from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Again, God is defining how we should worship Him. We don't get to decide how we worship God. God tells us how we worship Him. We don't want to make the same mistake that Adam and Eve did, where God said, don't take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, determining for yourself what's good and evil. You should take from the tree of life. And what did they do? They said, well, God, I don't care what you say, basically. I'm going to do what I want to do. And what does the scripture also say in the book of Proverbs? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ways lead to death. We do not want to be like Adam and Eve that thought that their way was something to make them wise. They thought that they could determine for themselves what was right or wrong, and they'd be okay with that. But what happened? It led to death. It led to destruction. It led to despair. It led to disease. It led to everything that was undesirable. So we need to listen to the word of God, worship God in spirit and in truth. One of the truths that James and Peter, to the lead apostles, told the Gentiles is that you should abstain from meat offered to idols, and that they should keep away from fornication. We already covered the fornication in the previous program, so now we're talking about abstaining from meats offered to idols. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and starting in verse 1, and we're going to read up to verse 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. This is now Paul speaking, and Paul is in agreement with them. Paul, in fact, was there at this period of time in the book of Acts, chapter 15, where Peter and James made the decision and made the announcement, because Paul, in fact, helped them to reach this conclusion. So now Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's addressing the same subject, and he says, "Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge." But knowledge puffs up. That's not the point, to get as much knowledge as possible. What really helps is charity or love, because love edifies. Love builds people up. It teaches people things. It benefits others, not just knowledge, which can just benefit us and puff us up. But love benefits everybody. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is no other God except one. Now, if Paul just left it there, we would all be able to say, well, then, eating things sacrificed to idols is no big deal. Because that's what it seems like Paul is saying, but that's not all of the story. What he is saying is that an idol is nothing. There, if somebody says that there's any other God besides a true God, that's nothing, because, you know, these idols are truly nothing. There's only one God. These idols are not real. They're just imaginary. So we know that an idol is nothing. Now in verse 6 he says, God the Father and Yeshua the Messiah, those are the only ones who are in the God family. But this knowledge is not in everybody. That's why it's important to abstain from meats offered to idols, because this knowledge is not in everybody. We might have the knowledge. That's why he says, you know, we all have knowledge. We all know this stuff. But not everybody knows this. So in other words, some people do think that an idol is real, that it is something. We know that it's nothing, but they don't know that. All right, so consequently, some being aware of the idol or thinking that the idol is something, this is still in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, some being aware of the idol, really believing that the idol exists, when they eat something that's been sacrificed to an idol, their conscience, being weak, is defiled because they really believe that they've done something wrong. But food does not commend us to God. Neither if we eat are we any better, or if we don't eat are we any worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you having knowledge that, you know, the idol is nothing, but if they see you sitting in an idol temple, will not the weak one's conscience be troubled in regards to eating things sacrificed to idols? And your knowledge, because of your knowledge that the idol is nothing, so you just ate that meat sacrificed to idols, but this person watching you, not having that same knowledge, thinking that the idol really is something, says, oh, well, this person whom I look up to, they ate something sacrificed to idols, so it must be okay, so I'm going to go back to doing that. And that could lead them back into actually worshiping the idols, because that's what they associated eating meat sacrificed to idols with, is actually worshiping the idol. So therefore, if they see you eating meat sacrificed to idols, they're going to say, well, I can eat meat sacrificed to idols too, because this guy over here, who's a big wig in the church, he's doing it. But the problem is, when they eat it, they could very well go back into idolatry and start worshiping a false god. And so, therefore, our brother will stumble. We become a stumbling block. They trip over what we did. And so now, let's break this down into everyday circumstances. Let's take two of the biggest idols in Christianity, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. We know that Santa Claus is not real. We know that there's no such thing as an Easter Bunny that's going to lay eggs. So These idols are nothing. There's only one true God. This liberty of mine means that I could actually go to a Christmas party or to some kind of sunrise Easter celebration service and know that it's not going to affect me because I know these things are silly. I know that it's not going to draw me back into false Christianity, worshiping God with these pagan symbols, worshiping God with lies instead of truth. I know it's not going to affect me. And that's not being puffed up. It's just that I've been walking with the Lord now for almost 30 years and I know that kind of stuff is not going to affect me. It's not attractive or tempting at all. But there could be some people who are new in the faith, that if they were to go to a Christmas celebration or Easter celebration, it might rekindle some of the thoughts that they have because maybe they've recently come out of it. And these things can be a lot of fun. I mean, Christmas was fun when I was a kid. These things can be a lot of fun. And so somebody that's fairly new in the faith, they might get tripped up by my liberty. I might become a stumbling block if they saw me at this party or if they knew that I was going to this party and they might say, well, I want to go too. And they go and then they get into the revelry and it's like, well, this is no big thing. I'm just going to go back to keeping Christmas and Easter. It's no big thing. After all, you know, Brother Glenn was doing it, so I'm going to do it too. Well, see, that's how my liberty can become a stumbling block. So it's best if I don't even get involved with that whatsoever. Don't even give the appearance of evil so that I make sure that the liberty of mine does not become a stumbling block to others who maybe don't have the same kind of strength of conviction that I do regarding these things. So in order to make sure that my brother does not fall, does not stumble, because it is so serious that God says that those who don't worship him in spirit and in truth, who continue to worship him in lies, if they don't repent of it, that they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's how serious God takes idolatry. And idolatry, again, is either worshiping the true God with pagan practices such as Christmas and Easter, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, or worshiping a false God altogether, worshiping Allah or Buddha or whatever other kind of fake God that people can come up with. That's idolatry. And so either one, God hates that. It's so serious that he will cast people into the lake of fire, the second death, if they don't repent of that and follow the one true God. There is only one name under heaven whereby we can be saved, and that is through Yeshua the Messiah. He is our Savior. He has been anointed for that very purpose. And so God the Father looks at us worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So the truth of the matter is that I should not eat things sacrificed to idols. I should not be involved with the Easter Bunny or with Santa Claus or the Christmas tree or any of that other kind of nonsense, even though I know that it is all nonsense. Other people might take it seriously and could be led back into paganism because they see me doing something like that. So in order to avoid causing my brother to stumble, out of love for my brother, I will make sure that I avoid that at all costs. And I pray that you will do the same, my brothers and sisters. May God be in you.